Hawks are undefeated in the Southwest Conference, and there are no asterisks next to their championship. And for the first time in 20 years, Arkansas has come to Austin, Texas, and left with a win. And Ken Hatfield gets a well-deserved ride on his players' shoulders.
This is former Arkansas football coach Ken Hatfield, and you're listening to The Morning Rush.
Welcome back into hour number three of The Morning Rush. Going to the phone lines and welcoming in former Razorback player and coach Ken Hatfield this morning. Coach, thank you so much for making some time for us on The Morning Rush.
Well, good morning. Good to be alive, and we're very blessed.
So, Coach, how often are you playing golf lately? I know there's a lot of free time for a bunch of different people right now. Are you still playing golf on a pretty regular basis, pretty weekly basis?
Probably way too much golf, because about time I always try to get something better. I go out and it looks better when I see it on film than when I get out to the course. But it is the one thing you can do, and you certainly can social distance there, because where I hit the ball, there's certainly no other balls over there to it. So I'm getting exercise and seeing all the greenery out and trees and everything else. But if that's golf, yep, I'm still doing that.
It's a great way to probably pass the time right now as everybody's trying to figure out a way to still socialize. What's been the biggest challenge for you these last 4 months as we've all tried to brave this new world we're in?
I think it's adjusting our schedule to the people and the opportunities and the things that we used to do, to help other people and be able to see our family. And especially the elder people in your family and folks that you don't want to take a chance of hurting them. And I think the isolation is the toughest thing about all of it.
If you were coaching right now, what do you think the biggest challenges Sam Pittman or any other college coach are facing trying to be around their players, communicate with players, recruiting, spring practice? What do you think their challenges are right now?
The challenges are monumental because you just don't have the personal relationship and the time so much for have a group together. Football is a team sport more than anything else, and where some sports are individual and you can do real good in your own fundamental, and that's basically what you're trying to do now, is for each player to try to master his position. And you always felt as a coach that you really were a good coach if you coach yourself into not being needed. You try to coach all your players to a point where your older players could turn around and coach a young player coming for their position, then you know you've done a good job. If all the players are dependent on you for everything that's going to happen, they never get a chance to learn themselves. And so you miss a lot of that time of seeing how well they can actually coach someone else. So it's just the toughest thing about it. And then because you're going to need coordination, no matter what a player does, offense or defense or kicking, it's going to take all the other elements to come together to be successful doing it. So I think that's the challenge of having little groups, and then a full unit, and then a full team all functioning together the best you possibly can be.
Ken Hatfield with us on The Morning Rush. Coach, you think about the relationships, you think about the building, kind of what you're referring to. Sam Pittman is characterized by many as a great builder of relationships, doing that early on in high school and doing that now. And I know recruiting has changed over the years based on when you were doing it back in the day than based on what it is now. But when you see the dynamic of them having to recruit virtually, more text, more on the phone, more FaceTime conversations, how much more difficult is it to recruit kids when you're not getting to see them in person on a weekly or monthly basis?
Well, it's naturally much more difficult. But I'll give them credit. The greatest thing that's happened is all the modern technology of virtual reality of trying to show someone all the great things the University of Arkansas has to offer has certainly given them an opportunity to monitor it, to copy it, and to go back over it time and time again. For a long time, you didn't have, like, movies or videos that you could remind yourself of what you liked about a particular visit. So now, when you have these virtual tours, you can keep that in your home if you're a recruit and say, well, what did they have for help in this academic area? What do they have in the business community? So there's so many things that they can do today to try to bring you up to date until you physically can get there and see it. It also allows recruits time to, once they see the virtual tour, to write down other questions specifically to the, them and their families that they want answered when they come on their one official visit they do have. So there's a pros and cons with it. There's nothing like having the personal contact and looking people in the eye. And because you have parents and recruits coming, they're pretty much turning them over to you during that critical part of their lives for college and preparing them for life without their parents and life without college. So it's a tough time, but I think everything that I've read and every a comment I have from the recruits, from their families, they couldn't be happier. The things they've learned about the University of Arkansas and the opportunity for them and their sons here. So I think they're making the most of the situation. And then when you get together and you see the people you've been talking to on the phone or on video, you get a good feel about them. You know they're real. And the other thing is your greatest salesman or a satisfied customer. So you get players here, recruits here, and the players who are here who see the coaches day in, day out during the good time, bad time, they're the ones that do the actual selling once they get here.
Coach, you mentioned what Arkansas has to offer, whether it's the number one nutrition program in the country, whether it's the outstanding facilities, whether it's the bunch of different Fortune 500 companies that are 20 minutes from campus that the build. I mean, there are so many unique opportunities that kids that end up going to Arkansas have. But when you initially hear about Arkansas, you're from out of state and you don't know the campus, you're kind of just assuming the rumors that you've heard about Arkansas your entire life. Coach, back when you were coaching and you bring a recruit in for an official visit, they visit Arkansas the first time, how amazed were they by some of the stuff that you guys had on campus and then had on campus today based on what they had heard about Arkansas?
Well, it was harder, much harder, and that's why I think when you see back in the days that we were here, both as players and coaches, we probably recruited a lot more locally. So that means we got more people from Arkansas, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Louisiana in a radius where their parents could see and get to the campus. It was much easier to do that once you got them here. I think today's recruiting the way it is, so many people, because the limited scholarships, that pretty much it's national. And you see people coming from Florida, Georgia, other people, and they may have only thing they've read about or things that somebody local may have told them. So they're coming a little bit further away, but they're learning and knowing more about it. And again, I think you'll find that a lot of recruits rely a lot on the players that are at a school at a particular time to know really what it's like day in and day out, getting up, going to eat, getting your rest. If you need help in the whirlpool, is it available all the time? So they just do a better job. And everybody has an opportunity to sell what they want. And that's why there's so many schools and so many opportunities out there. And if you have know that your commitment that a young man can come to Arkansas and he can continue to develop himself mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally at the program with people that do care about you, because you do have to get ready, too. What happens if you go to a school, you get injured the first day? You may not play at all. It'd just be one of those things. Are you still going to like the people you're going to be around? Are you still like the opportunities to develop yourself? And if you get a good warm feeling about the people you're going to be around and the opportunity, both if you play football and if you're not as good as you think you may be, then you can't go wrong. And I think that's what recruiting's all about.
Coach Clay Henry here. We've talked a lot this morning about offensive line play. And it's, you know, Coach Pittman's idea is to get bigger on the offensive line. And if I remember right, when you came to Arkansas, one of the things that you did is really upgrade size, especially at offensive guard. I remember, you know, some of your guards were just massive. And just the size that's needed to play in the offensive line, and I know you've watched all kinds of teams in your role with the college football playoffs, and just would you go through what's important about offensive line play and size.
Well, it all starts with your linemen. I think it always all of the linemen, as you know, Clay, are a lot bigger than those trout you were catching out in Colorado, Wyoming.
They are. Yes, sir.
Thank goodness. But these guys can eat about a whole boatful of them at one meal anymore today just to keep up their nutrition. But we always felt like that your offensive and defensive line pretty much controlled the rest of the ball game. I remember years ago when you looked and saw Herschel Walker that had the great All-American and Heisman Trophy year he had at Georgia when they played the University of Florida that year. He only made 10 yards rushing the whole ball game. Now, why was that? Just because the offensive line couldn't create enough holes for him. Now, later on in the game, they did dump a little pass over the middle about 5 yards on a pass play, and then he scattered and ran 80 yards for a touchdown to win the game. But as far as the running plays, the linemen, if you don't have any blocking, even the best backs aren't going to make any yards. So if you got people that give yourself a chance to get started, great backs will find the hole. And so we always felt like the really linemen we wanted, good-sized linemen, but the main thing really we look for is feet. That no matter what your size was, if you had good feet, then you always can get a proper position because the offensive lineman knows the play. That's the advantage they have anyway. So you're always going to have an advantage, and then if you have good feet to go along with it and good hands, it'll always give you a chance. And of course, in any offense, if you're a quick hitter or whatever you are, then big linemen were certainly better to have more power and explosiveness coming off the ball. And of course, we moved a lot of people even. We moved some tight ends, Albert Crawford, you know, who had good feet and was big enough into a center. We moved Freddie Childress from a defensive lineman to an offensive lineman. And I just saw where he's going into the Canadian Football League Hall of Fame up there too, which is a great honor for him. But, now, we relied, everything started on our offensive line on what we could try to develop.
Coach Clay mentioned your position with the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Have you all had any communication? Has any word been given to you all about the future of college football this year? Any insight there that maybe you could share with us?
Well, we're having a meeting the committee's still going. We're having a meeting in August. And with the new committee members, we have three new committee members, and we're all meeting out there in about a couple of weeks. And so we're planning going on to how many teams play. If we're going to have a playoff, our commission job is to pick the four best teams for the final playoff, depending on how many teams play.
Is there any discussion about the possibility of the playoffs moving back or some flexibility on the dates or has it even evolved to that point yet?
It hadn't on our discussion as far as the committee members. We're just watching and reading and keeping up to date on everything that's going on and all the talk. And I think time is getting close. So I think within the next week or two, pretty much people are going to be making decisions about the season and what the season will look like. And the good thing is, as far as our committee is, we're way behind everything else. So whatever the leadership decides to do for the football season, at a later date, we're still will be meeting and still be evaluating on whatever is out there to fulfill our commission of getting the four best teams for the playoffs.
Coach Ken Hatfield with us on the Morning Rush. Coach, we did this bracket a while back of the best games in Razorback history, and one of the games that made it pretty far was the 1989 game between you guys and Houston. And that was the game where Quinn Grovey outdueled Andre Ware, and you guys ended that one in dramatic fashion. When you think about the great quarterbacks of Arkansas football, Ryan Mallett, Clint Sterner, Tyler Wilson, Joe Ferguson, Quinn is a guy that I don't know gets enough credit when it comes to that conversation. You coached him. How underrated is Quinn Grovey when you talk about the great quarterbacks of Arkansas football?
Well, when you talk about the great quarterbacks, to me it's the effectiveness that they had on the team, not so much their stats they had, but did the team believe in whatever you're trying to do offensively, and I think our team always did with Quinn. The one thing Quinn has, people don't realize that he garnered over 6,200 yards while he was a quarterback for the Razorback. The other thing is that he led us to two championships back-to-back as a quarterback in 88 and 89 and two trips to the Cotton Bowl. I think the only time Arkansas's ever been back-to-back to the Cotton Bowl was 64 and 65. So he did some unique things team-wise of pulling all the talent together, not relying on him all the time. And the great thing about Quinn is that he continued to work. He worked with Coach David Lee on his passing ability when he came here and certainly became a great passer in 88 and even better in 1989. But, you're talking about, you can't ask any better than that Little Rock War Memorial Stadium atmosphere with Andre Ware, Quinn Grovey, and the Hogs and the Cougars playing. I think the week before, Houston may have scored 100 points on Tulsa. They were capable of doing it in those days. And I think there were three scores in about the first minute and a half of the game. And I looked up and I thought, holy Toledo, the scoreboard isn't big enough to handle what's happening today. It was the darndest thing you'd ever seen. And used to see Andre Ware some a lot when he was doing some television and games. And he'd always complain, dadgummit, why'd your defensive backs and everybody plays the dadgum deep? We couldn't ever get a deep pass. I said, we're not idiots, Andre. You'd already scored 100 points on all them people that were trying to play you man-to-man and stuff. But anyway, it was a great, great game, I think, one to be remembered. And Quinn didn't flinch at all. He came right back, run, throw, whatever you're going to do. So his effectiveness was tremendous, a tremendous leader, a tremendous person, and he's continued to give to the University of Arkansas in so many other capacities as he continues to do today.
Coach, I want to, now that was 89, but I want to go back to 64. One of the other games that was on, actually two of the big games that are on that list, is the win over Nebraska that occurred in 65 and then the win over Texas, which occurred in Austin in 64. Coach, when that punt is in the air and you're seeing and you take it 81 yards back to the house, can you take us back? Like, do you remember what was going through your mind at that specific moment in one of the greatest plays in Arkansas history?
Yeah, the mind was when he kicked the ball. I said that he kicked it too far because Ernie Corey was their punter and he's also their star running back. And so pretty much when he kicked the ball, I could tell from where I lined up, I backed up a couple of yards knowing that our line was going to sprint so hard and linebackers on it that we were going to have a chance. All I had to do was catch the ball. So anyway, I knew there wouldn't be anybody close by, and I knew we were going to have a chance to catch the ball and get it started, which we did. And Jim Lindsay's such a great personal protector, and I knew even if there was one down there, he would take care of him, which he did. And then, you know, I just got the wall. Our guys, we worked so hard on it, had done it forever, not just that year. That was a hallmark of Coach Broyles and defense and working on the kicking game, trying to win the kicking game. And it couldn't have been better. I think there were seven key blocks on the play to knock Texas people down. And so it really wasn't that hard. All I had to do was keep them stumbling, which was okay.
Yeah. Coach, we got about a minute left here. So my grandpa hated the University of Texas. He went to Arkansas, been a devout Razorback supporter his entire life. I have this kind of shrine in my room of a Texas Longhorn logo face down and a picture of me and my grandpa back in the day watching an Arkansas game. In like a minute or less, can you explain just you and so many others listening why Texas just gets in your crawl when it comes to that school?
Well, when you grow up in Arkansas, I was born and reared here and lived all over the state. And during the time when Coach Broyles came back here and they were being competitive all the time in the Southwest Conference and developing and building a team, it was a small state of Arkansas and our small population playing the whole state of Texas because all the other schools were in the state of Texas. So then you had the whole state of Texas you're competing against every day. And so then the key was the team in Austin always was the team that you always had and that you had to beat. And so there's so many classic games, Freddie Akers field goal, games that went down to the wire, our 62 team that was a 7-3 ball game. There are just so many games, 365 days, you waited till you played Texas the next year. But it was kind of a David and Goliath thing, Arkansas against them, and we did well against them. It certainly made the rest of the year a lot better. And so it was a classic, and I can still remember the respect Coach Broyles and Coach Royal had for each other, such a great respect that after we won in Austin when Texas was ranked number one, Coach Royal walked into our own locker room, and the locker room got quiet, and he said, "Congratulations. I want you to know you beat a great Texas team today, not an ordinary one." He said, "We will not lose another game the rest of the year." So he said, "You stick your knitting. If you lose a game, we'll pick up the pieces." And I thought that was mighty classy, and also it helped us motivation. As we went on undefeated, and they did the same thing. They did not lose another game, including defeating Joe Namath and down in the Orange Bowl to win a one-loss year for them. So that's a great classic moment, a good way to be remembered of Arkansas beating Texas.
Coach Ken Hatfield, the all-time winningest coach in Razorback history, also part of the 1964 National Championship team. Coach, we really appreciate you making some time for us on the Morning Rush.
I appreciate you, and thank you for keeping the interest up and everything you're doing. We're going to get through all this, and there come a great day again for the Fighting Razorbacks.